Father, we thank you for your word that's coming forth. Thank you for prayers answered. In Jesus' name. So we're going to take some time just continuing on our teaching. On the inward witness. I strongly believe that we are coming to this place of realization that the Spirit of God witnesses to us. We should not be in ignorance of the fact that the Spirit of God witnesses to us as believers. And we also should be very open to what he's doing. In your evangelisms, you will also incorporate this mechanism. Right? I showed you the portion of the scripture in Acts where Paul was supposed to go in a direction and the Spirit suffereth him not to. Right? So the Spirit said, no, go here rather than go here. So he does that in our evangelisms too as well. And we're going to be open to what he wants us to do and yield to what he's doing with us. I am going to encourage every one of you to, you know, assume that surety that I'm led by the Spirit of God. Every one of you listening to me today, I want you to assume that surety that I'm led by the Spirit of God. And the supernatural, you know, responds to faith. So you will have to assume a faith position to be able to respond to the supernatural. It means that anybody who has confusion in their minds is going to have a very hard time of following the inward witness. Because just as other gifts are operated by faith, responding to the supernatural, which is also a function of the supernatural, works by faith. So let me tell you something. You have to start growing to that point where you assume a state of faith in the fact that God leads me. You see, so that when you start receiving impulses of the witness, you don't disregard it. Because one of the ways, you know, that you disregard it is that you don't have a lot of faith that you have the witness of the Spirit. So whenever you receive, you know, impulses, spiritual emotions, you just treat it lightly. And many have paid dearly for this. I pray that the Lord's going to help all of us to yield. See, someone was here yesterday, and I was in the room, and I saw something, and I had a leading. You know, in my natural self, I would have said, you know what, let me take time to just teach before. But I remember I said a statement, and that statement keeps coming to me, and I think I'm going to make that statement a very key mantra on my lips. I said, you know what, I just don't want any trouble. Let's just follow. Right? So if you hear me say that, it means now I'm telling you that you should also say that. Don't they say, hey, I don't want trouble. I'm receiving a witness that this, let me just do it. Do you see that? Don't fight with the Spirit of God. Don't strive with Him. Don't strive with him. Don't fight with him. So that he tells me, and I'm like, see, I'm here. I don't really want to fight with you, so let me just do it. Right? And I told you that inward witness comes with no facts. You know, there are no exact facts as to why you are receiving leading or spiritual emotions concerning what he's trying to lead you into. But you just must learn how to yield and not strive with him. If he says, do this, you do it. If he says, do it like this, you do it like this. No, pray for this. You pray for this. He says, get up and pray. You get up. Don't strive with him. Like, don't strive with him. And it's a way that people deaden the Spirit's leading. They sort of deaden it. It's a way to deaden his leading, because the inward witness can be deadened. It can be deadened, right? It can be deadened in a sense that when he gives a prompting or witness, you don't obey instantly or promptly. And he gives another, you don't obey instantly or promptly. So, you know, disobedience in a certain sense causes you not to be able to know if he is the one or he's not the one, because you don't respond to it pretty much promptly. And so it becomes very difficult to decipher the ones that come after as to whether he is the one or not. So I'm going to teach that maybe in some few, maybe next week, you know, I'm sure next week is going to introduce us into some of those realities so that we can know how to respond, right? We know how to respond. We know, oh, the Holy Spirit just laid this on me. You respond. The Holy Spirit said, God wants me to do this. You respond. Evangelism, you respond. Say, pray, you respond. You know, compassion, you respond. Agony in prayer, you respond. Something, you respond. Grief, you are quick to, you know, just respond, right? And that's going to help you become more accurate with what he's leading you to do. So today we're going to look at some practical things, you know, in following the inward witness. And again, I'm going to take it in bits, a little bit here, a little bit there, and then we're going to just be going forward. I trust we're making some very giant strides in the little sessions of teachings that we have, you know, during the 5 p.m. sessions. And I thank God for the Holy Spirit, His grace, you know, available for this. So we're going to look at some practical things in following the inward witness. And remember, I explained to you early on that the inward witness is a witness of a spirit of the believer, which is the Spirit of God that knows the things of God, right? Which agrees or refutes facts exposed to it, right? So it agrees. Say, my heart. You know, many times in the Old Testament, the word heart was interchanged for the word spirit, and I had already explained that some time back, right? So it was used interchangeably. My heart. I've been praying about this thing, but my heart. My heart. That many of the times is the witness. Right? That many of the times is the witness. My spirit is a bit on agreeing. You need to pay attention. There's something on agreeing. On agreeing. And like I said, these things are going to come with quite some experience. You do it again and again and again and again, and then it becomes more clear. It becomes more easy to decipher. Right? So if you know, you know, since man's decision process or decision-making process is going to be in the mind, it means that naturally, man will think of something logically. He would reason it out, right? There would be some emotions also to it. Then an understanding from all the information that's given, right, via his senses, the things that he sees, the things that he hears, the things that he touches, the things that he feels, the things that he can taste. So this is, you know, the mind exposed to diverse influences. The mind is exposed to diverse influences. And if care is not taken, the believer will subject himself to the world's logical reasoning, emotions, understanding, informations, and then he misses out on what is supernatural. I mean, coming to think of it, just think about this. I always use these examples, and I'm like, do you know what it means to stand before a Red Sea and you say, God, please help us? And God is asking, what do you have in your hand? And you say, I have a rod. And he says, stretch forth the rod. What mechanism of stretching of the rod can explain the dividing of the Red Sea? So logically, it does not make sense. It doesn't even make a lot of sense. It does not make any sense. If you like go and stand before a river and stretch forth a rod, let's see whether the river is gonna part. It doesn't make any sense. I mean, if we want to part a river, we should be looking at some scientific machineries that can help. Even that one, it will take a miracle, because how are you going to, you know, quite some work to do. Reasoning doesn't make sense. Your emotions, it will make sense. Your understanding, it will make, all the information you've learned from school, it will not make sense. You see that there are serpents, you know, magicians have put serpents down. They say, you too, put your serpent down. It will turn into a snake. Well, when did a tree start to be a snake? Elisha is right behind Elijah, you know, waiting for a mantle to fall upon him so he can get a double portion of the spirit that rests upon Elijah. And then he gets to the River Jordan, he splashes the cloak on the water divides. What does a cloak have to do with the parting of rivers? There was a very typical example, you know, where Gehazi, who happened to be, you know, a son of the prophet to Elisha, and there was a woman who had her dead child, right? So he gave him something to go lay on the child, and then he did it, then it didn't work. That's natural, because Gehazi was a disloyal person. He was not heartily with the prophet. So he gave, go and touch, the thing doesn't work. That's what we are expecting. Do you understand? We expect that when we give you a rod to lay hand on some, to lay on somebody, the person should not come back to life, because there is not a correlation with a rod and life. Somebody comes in to Jesus who is blind, has eyeballs, there's an eye socket, there are no eyeballs. Then he picks out sand, he spits into the sand, he just, you know, molds it into an eyeball, he puts it right into the socket, and boom, an eye comes. What is the correlation with sand and an eye socket? Aprons were taken from the body of Saul, handkerchiefs and aprons were taken from the body of Saul and laid on the sick, and the sick received healing. What is the relation with healing and handkerchiefs and aprons? So you see, logically, reasoning it out with all the understanding and the information that you have, based on the world, based on your influences, based on the mindset, based on, you know, social media. A lot of funny things going on social media today, and you must guard your mind. Be careful the things you expose your heart to. It's not everything you're supposed to watch on social media, because what happens is that it's going to destroy what I'm about to teach you. Why? Because the believer's mind, right, all these things are competing for the believer's mind and attention. Social media, colleagues, family, friends, companions, your workplace, it's all competing. They're all competing for your mind. They're all competing for your mind. If you have somebody in your office, oh, men of God are fake. Men of God are this. Men of God are this. You see that very soon, it will not be long. It won't be long. It will not be long. Very soon, you will see that it starts to have an influence on you. Starts to have an influence on you. You also start to begin to question one or two things that happen around the Christian diaspora. You begin to question. So, all of these things are fighting for the believer's attention. Now, don't forget, it is this same mind, right, which is the heart. They are correlatively together because your emotions, the seat of your emotions is in the mind. It's the central part of your mind. It's seated in your mind. Your emotions are in the mind. So, if you're going to have spirit-inspired emotions, but all of these things are competing for the same spot. You see how interesting it is? All these things are competing for the same spot. It means that you have to be careful. That is why it may appear difficult to discern God's leading. Because there are many things that compete for the same thing that you want to use, you know, the mind for. So the spirit communicating spirit-inspired emotions from the inside, right? But it's going to be centrally seated somewhere in the mind. So there are going to be emotions from the spirit, from the heart. So it means you must begin to put the mind in a state where the mind can receive these emotions that are of the spirit, which are originally centrally seated in the mind. Romans 12, verse 2. You do this by renewing the mind. In Romans 12, verse 2, it says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now watch what happens. As there's a renewing of the mind, listen to what Paul tells the church in Rome. You will be able to make proof of what is good, what is acceptable, and what is the perfect will of God. You will have a very high level of discernment into what is good, which is of God, what is acceptable, which is of God, what is the perfect will of God, which is of God. Now, it means that the renewing of the mind is the instruction, is an instruction to the believer, is not a suggestion. This I explained very well, right? That the word conform there is almost like into pouring liquid into a container. And you know, always the liquid takes the shape of the container. So it's like you assume a form. It hinders receptions from the inward witness. You see, that's why as a lady, don't join other people to say, all men are foolish men and men are all cheats and everything are this. You see, you do not know what you are doing to yourself, your mind. You are hurting your mind. And what happens is that since the mind is supposed to receive impulses from the spirit, it means that you will not have the ability to be able to decipher it when something is happening. You would deaden the inward witness when it comes to issues like that, because in your mind, every man is a foolish man. There is no man who doesn't cheat. And now you see that men too have started having some interesting mantras. Fear women. All of those things. Those things are not supposed to be said. Maybe, I don't know, but I don't think you should say that. Maybe you can say them just passingly, but it shouldn't be something that becomes, you know, it's like you, I don't think it's good. So fear women. Me, I don't like that. I've never liked those kind of statements. I'm telling you, because let me tell you, all my ministry and my life, if I even say fear women, God will not be happy with me. Yes, women have helped me all through. My major workforces are women. Yes, aside the guys who are around. But the major workforces are women. And I have more women. I have more women. Yes, I have more women. And the ministry has more women. So I can't get up and be saying that fear women. That's stupid. Which woman am I supposed to fear? Talk to me. Which woman am I supposed to fear? Yes. So you have a mantra like this in the world, and the believer jumps on it. Then they start fear women, fear this, fear gender. This. You see, it's not a right thing to say. It's not a right thing to say. The kind of woman that the Word of God wants you to fear, He has already told you. But to say fear women is to give an exclusive meaning to all kind of women, which I think is not wise. When you make exclusive statements for everybody, you are not being wise. You see that? You are not being wise. It's like all women are to be feared. That's not feared in a very interesting sense. And you see that the women too also pick it up. It's like they are to be feared. Then you see that they are doing things that warrant a certain boyfriend. They are playing all them together and say, fear women. Yeah, they told you to be fear women. You didn't hear. So that's not good to say. See, that's not good to say. You say fear women. It's not a wise thing to say. At least everybody's mother is a woman. That is to be loved. So that statement alone does not make sense. That you should fear women. Yes, and I really love women by the grace of God. Not in a sense that you see, but I see that they are very great, special blessing. I'll be lying to you if I told you that I don't thank God for the women around. And I checked Jesus' ministry. It was true. He had more women. Yes, you got men, and he had more women. And some of them handled major things that he was doing. Yes, there was Susanna, the wife of Chusa, also there. Yes, there was Joanne. There was Mary. There was Mary Magdalene. And all of these women were like, I believe that the 12 foundational. But at the 12, I believe that in the 70, there were women. I believe that very strongly. Maybe 12 because Jesus had his own reasons and, you know, the difficulty to which they were supposed to make movements from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to the utmost part of the earth. The women might not be able to do that. But the 70, they were there. There were other people around. Because 120 people were gathered up in the other room. There were women there. That's enough, anyway. So, You have to renew your mind. Yes, thank you. So maybe I just dropped the scripture anyway. So we need to be able to not conform to what the world says. Oh, all men of God are fake. Then you too, you are also propagating it. Yeah. Someone came to me and the person saw me watching a certain Kumasi prophet on my TV, and the person was shocked that I even allowed it to stay on that TV station. And then I started telling the person that ever since I was young on Metro TV, I used to see this man. And I'll be very foolish to say that, oh, he's a fake. Where do I know him from? I don't even know him from anywhere. It is not mine to say. I just mind my own business, but I'm not against anybody. So the believer has to keep his mind. Don't conform to the thoughts, the way people say things in this world. Don't say it the same way. Don't assume and form. Don't be fashioned like. Don't be used to a lifestyle. You know, the world has a lot of violence. Anything they want to be violent. It's not everything you have to be violent about. There are things you have to communicate. There are things you have to say. There are things you have to explain. There are things you have to... You don't have to, what do you call it, be violent about it. So there's a way the world thinks. There's a way the world acts. There's a way the world behaves. So all men are cheats. No. When you do that, you don't grow the way God wants you to grow. And it means you will affect major things that happen. They will affect major, what do you call it? Impulses from spirit, from the spirit, which are emotions that you are supposed to be getting. That's why when you love something very much, it becomes even more difficult to get a spirit-inspired emotion. Because you can't really differentiate. Maybe somebody who is bent on going to America or UK. It is very difficult that it sometimes might be difficult to get a witness. Because your whole mind is that. You are conformed to believing that if you don't leave the country, you will not excel in life. So you begin to have dreams. You begin to see visions. So to conform yourself will be that you're making yourself to become like another. In 1 Peter 1:14, he says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. So there's a lust in your ignorance that you might be tempted to fashion yourself according to that because you do not know. So renewing the mind is very key to following and responding to the inward witness. It's very key. But somebody who continually renews the mind, it becomes easy because you now know God's word. You're not doing CCC, C Nanato, Tata Bongo, Bumuti Bumuti, Imami, Ipapi, E Boom Boom Fire, Pastor. Is this one? Is it Imami that's leading you, or is your own, what do you call it? So you need to know the word of God. As the word of God is taught, you pay attention to it. You read your Bible. That's very key. It helps you in following. So as your mind is transformed, or as your mind is renewed, you'll get to realize that it becomes more easier to know what the Spirit of God is communicating in that emotion because of the knowledge you have concerning God's word. So you're going to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be able to prove that which is good, which is acceptable, which is perfect, the will of God. You will be transformed. You will be transformed. You will be transformed. You will be transformed. So you fear women. He didn't know that the world's largest church was built by women. I don't know why I'm staying on this statement. in South Seoul, Yongicho. It was built by women. The men came out and they said, see, we will not build any church. So women were holding cell services. Women were holding home centers. And that's how it became the biggest church. Yes. The men said they will not do it. Oh, you think I'm joking? It's true. The men said they will not build a church. The women said they will build. And they started building. And they truly built it. Yes. So I think you should thank God for every woman. In Christ, there's no male or female, but I just want to make that very straight. For your mother and for all of those women. And don't say those things, fear women and those things, fear woman. Hey, woman, therefore fear more. The ones that you should fear, God has told you what you should fear. He's giving you something as a typology, Jezebel as a typology, the wife of Pharaoh as a typology. Those are the ones you are supposed to fear. But that's not an exclusive statement to say that fear women. Renew your mind. Are you listening? Now, the word renewing actually means to educate. Right? To remold. Right? To give a complete change. So that you may be able to prove, you'll be able to discern, you'll be able to recognize. You see, that means that the mind is very important for the believer to recognize the will of God in the context of God's leading. Do you see that? Yes. The mind is paramount to recognizing the will of God. A renewed mind, a mind that's continually, you know, built up in the Word, it's easy to recognize God. Now, let me tell you one thing. Do you know that even naturally, in your sight, when it comes to recognition, it's easier recognizing something that you know. When you get into a place, okay, what you recognize is what you associate with or what you actually no, or what you see is what you actually know. In fact, many of the times, the things that you see are the things that you know. The things you don't really, really, really see, those things you don't really, really know. So even sight is a function of what is known. When it comes to even spiritual things, what you know as information is what you see. Is what God is going to use, because that's how far you can see. So if you want to see more, if you want to be exposed to more, it means you will have to know more. You have to know more concerning the supernatural. You have to know. So what you know is what you will be able to see. This afternoon, somebody called me, a man of God. And he said, man of God, please, can you just prophesy to me? And he has been calling me. So I just said, okay, that's fine. I mean, today I'll do it. So I just started to pray with him. And I saw something. Then I told him. And he was very excited. Then I saw another thing. You see, the way I saw it, I saw something. The second one, I saw something. Then I saw a very long bridge. That was how the vision came. And that was the end of the vision. I saw something, then I saw a long bridge. How would you know what you are seeing if you don't already know what a bridge is? So the Lord will use a bridge because I probably have understanding of what a bridge means. Then he can use a bridge to communicate what he wants me to communicate to the guy. Then I spoke to him. And boy, he was just blessed. Then he said, man of God, please. All that you said is true. I have to leave. And I said, don't worry. God is going to bring somebody to continue what you started. Then I said, who is this? And he said, oh, he's my disciple. I said, start training him for the work you said you are leaving behind. He's the one that will take all the place. So God will show what you know. If you don't know, it will be very difficult for you to actually understand what he's trying to show you. So in the same way, it means that you're going to be led more by the Spirit of God. You see, what I'm teaching you right now is me causing you to know. Right? I'm causing you to know. Because maybe you might have had Spirit-inspired emotions, but because you didn't know that, this is it. But now, you know. So you get to say, I know this, so this is what it means. So in the same way, as the mind, that's why I'm educating your mind. That's the reason for teaching. I'm teaching your mind. I'm educating you. I'm teaching you to know what the inward witness is. I'm teaching you to respond to the inward witness. I'm teaching you to know how to understand what God is showing to you in the inward witness. So that you may be able to prove. You'll be able to discern. You'll be able to recognize. You'll be able to approve what is the good, the perfect will of God. Somebody is coming to that place of knowing. But remember what I'm telling you. It starts with renewing of the mind. That means if you don't renew your mind, you will be conformed to the things of this world. You don't take the word of God seriously, you will be conformed to the things of this world. You will think like the world and you will receive impulses like the world. You will receive impulses like the world. You will have emotions that are like the world. What does the world celebrate? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. That's what the world receives emotions towards. They are happy. If you think I'm lying, tell somebody that you're going to Amsterdam to do your masters. They'll be telling that, wow, God has made a way, God has opened the way. Wow, we thank God. They will be lying on the floor. Hey, I need a party, you need a party. And you now say that, I want to be a pastor. And I want to be a pastor. They'll say, hey, you are not serious. Pastor for where? Who is called pastor? What is pastor? Where is pastor? Our pastor is there today. Is pastor a real thing to do? Pastor, they are saying you, Juma. Because that's how the world thinks. Jesus to hurry up and come so that we'll go home, man. We want to go, even though it looks like we don't have anything to show yet. We just want to go because the world is just too much. No, that was just a joke, actually. I don't want to go because when I stand before him, I don't have anything to show. I can't be saying, Maranatha, come. Maranatha, you've not done anything. How many disciples do you have? You are saying, Maranatha. Are you not afraid? Or you there, you're what? So we're going to bring our teaching to a close. Tomorrow we're going to continue on these, the last of the flesh, the last of the eyes, the pride of life. And we're going to be having conversations on this and how it can affect, the inward witness. Because it is with the renewing of the mind that there's clarity that comes with these issues. Then you are able to tell that, okay, this is God. Okay, this is not God. Then you will have emotions that you will be able to know that this is God. This is not God. Right? Great. So renewing of the mind is very important. That's why the word of God, when it's taught to you, you should be very, very much excited and blessed by the word. Right? You should be very, very, very much excited and blessed. Like the word of God should become something that you eat voraciously. You just, you know, eat it very dangerously. Yeah. Somebody who doesn't you know the word of God, if you give him what you call it, anything that is supposed to benefit him, he can't make it. He can't make any essence out of it. He can't do anything with it. So you're going to be a lover of the word of God. Anytime you see that pastor is preaching or teaching you something, I don't even know how to explain it. Your eyes are open, your ears are open, you are ready. Your hands are writing anything that your mind is working in the teaching.
Your mouth is open. You don't even know what it is. You don't even understand what is going on there. Then they say, hey, opumulero. They say, they are apple. And they say, opumulero. Hey, line. Run local line. You see them, co. The word of God can't. Your mouth are open like this. Sleeping. I watched one funny, video. The guy has gone to sing one powerful worshipful. A few minutes later, I don't know why they did this in church, but a few minutes later, camera went on him. Guy was far gone. Unless you hear the worship. You see, don't despise the place of the word of God. I'm telling you. See, as I grow, and I will keep growing, I get to sort of like get to recognize the essence of the place of God's word as I grow. And that's actually proof that I'm growing. Yeah. You get to see how important it is that the word needs to be given its right place. Yeah. How the word needs to be given its right place. That's why I've taught now than anything I've done. I've taught you from last year to this year, evening. Yes. That's because I get to see that this is essential. And I see the fruits. I'm telling you, I see the fruits. Just I'm hoping to see more fruits, but I see the fruits. I see that the word is working. The word taught the people. They are becoming whatever it is you teach them. Yeah. So we're going to stay on it. Right? And prayer, which is the things of the Spirit. So both are important. We're mixing, we're bringing them together. The word and the things of the Spirit, we're bringing them together. So we're going to stay, consistent. Everybody must understand and yield to the inward witness and know how to follow the inward. I'll be so joyed, when I hear you share experiences of how you yielded to the inward witness and how it led to something and how something happened. Something that's going to be a blessing. Yeah. In Jesus' name. So I want to say something. The word of God is higher than any dream, higher than any experience, higher than any vision. Whatsoever it is, God's word far surpasses any experience. So the word of God is supposed to come. Dreams, visions, experiences are supposed to authenticate what the word of God has already said. If in any case, a dream, vision, or an experience does not authenticate what the word of God says, then there is a problem. So you're going to pay attention to dreams that authenticate the word of God, that say what the word of God is saying. The moment they pose fear, they pose anxiety, they pose confusion, that cannot be God's method of getting through to you. I'll say this again. Visions, dreams, experiences are supposed to confirm what the word of God says. Now, that's not to say that whenever, you have a bad dream, it does not mean God is the one talking to you. But what that means is that you are supposed to come to the knowledge of a reality so you can deal with it using God's right method. Whenever you are in fear, whenever you are in anxiety, whenever you are in confusion, it cannot be God. Because we have learned that God does not work with these tools. He has his own tools, and he doesn't have to use any other tools that is not of him to get you into knowing whatever it is that he wants you to know. Whenever he wants you to know something, he is going to tell you, and he's going to tell you in a way that his word says it. So you see that some people have experiences that end them up in so much confusion and fear. They live in perpetual fear because they had a certain dream, or they had a certain vision, or they had a certain experience. So dreams, visions, experiences, right, when received, are to be received in the light of God's word. Even if for any reason there was a negative dream or a negative experience, when you wake up, don't forget what the word of God says in that experience or in that dream or whatever it is that you had. I don't know why I'm sharing this, but I have to make this clear. The word of God to you will not lead you into confusion, will not lead you into the anticipation of the fear of an event, will not lead you into any sort of experience that God does not want you in. God's word liberates, and God's word saves. Amen. All right. So we're going to continue quickly on, you know, our subject on the inward witness. And we have been having this conversation for a while. Spoke about how God gives us the Holy Spirit. One of the primary ways that he leads us is via the inward witness. We took some time paying attention to the fact that the inward witness is going to be that spiritual emotion that is transmitted by the Holy Spirit in our spirits concerning the mind of God. It refutes or endorses facts that are presented to it. We said we're going to always have to look for the inward witness from within. You right? So we're going to search on the inside, pay attention to what the Spirit is saying in emotions. We looked at compassion, we looked at agony, we looked at grief, you know. We looked at being compelled. You know, I think there was one there was also, we looked at peace, right? Passingly, not so in-depthly, but there's also a peace that comes with knowing that that's the inward witness, right? So there are several emotions that we ought to pay attention, you know, to. We looked at zeal also as an inward witness, a response of the spirit man to facts or figures that are presented, you know, before it. Now we moved into looking to practical ways of following the inward witness, right? We said that there are quite a number of practical ways to following, but I started with making sure that the believer's mind is continually renewed by the word of God. So the more you listen to the word of God, the more you hear the word of God, the more it changes your mind, the more it makes you more of what God wants you to be. We looked at Romans chapter 12, verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And it is in the renewing of the mind that we are able to prove what is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. We said the word conformed is to make oneself to assume a form, you know, to become like, to take a pattern of another, to be fashioned after one. So anybody who has their mind like the world is of the world, thinks like the world. And therefore, they will not be able to prove what is good, what is acceptable, what is the perfect will of God, right? We also took some time also to look at what it means to, I think that's what we looked at primarily, right? So we're going to move a bit further, just a bit further, and still on the same Romans chapter 12, verse 2.
And you see, the renewing of the mind is actually what I call a re-education of the mind, right? It remolds the mind. It causes the mind to be changed into something. So that it may able to prove, or you may be able to be to prove what is the good, what is the acceptable, and what is the perfect will of God. It shows that the renewing of the mind is very paramount for the believer. Very paramount. I was in prayer. Okay, I know where I thought about this. You know, today, say, what would you call it? Opumulero. You see people happy? Said in my heart and in my soul, everything they alright. And they can't pay. Say, Then we say Genesis chapter 1, Micah chapter 2, John 3:16, Acts 2:4, Revelation 6. Yes, come back to John 1. Let's go back to Revelation. The moment you just start like that, you see them looking at themselves like, why? What's going on? Right? You know, the word of God is staring at you like this and it's shocked. You know who is the word of God? Jesus is the word of God, because Jesus is not Opumulero. See, when you say, so he loves Opumulero than he loves me. Hold me, the word of God. He doesn't want to listen to what I have to say. Right? So you see that renewing of the mind will come via the teaching of God's word. You cannot renew your mind if you're not taught and you don't take time learning or re-educating via reading, you know, or being taught. Right? So you see that people get excited, you know, when they get into, you know, entertaining zones, they get into places where they're active, and then it's time to use the mind. Oh, is a problem. In fact, the word mind there is the word nous. It means one's reasoning. You see, it implies one's reasoning or understanding. It's nous. It's from where reasoning and understanding comes from. So the mind has to be transformed. The mind has to be changed. What? Via the teaching of God's word. So as we train, as we teach, as we explain, our minds, right, conform to God's mind. Remember, I told you that the mind is where the emotions are, right? Is where the thoughts are, reasoning. That's where all of these come from. That's the faculty of all of these functions are in the mind. So your emotions are in the mind. If you want to cry, it comes from your mind. Some of you think it comes from your heart. It doesn't come from your heart. Crying doesn't come from your heart. It comes from your mind, right? To be sad comes from the mind. To be happy comes from the mind. It doesn't come from anywhere. It comes from the mind. Whatever it is that you know will either predispose you to having those emotions. So the more of God's word you know, the more of whatever it is he has told you to do, you will be able to do. Because then you receive strength to be able to do what he's called you to do. So you will be able to prove. You'll be able to prove. You'll be able to discern what is the will of God. Remember, the leading of the Holy Spirit is what is the will of God in this situation. Okay, I want to travel. What is the will of God? What's the Holy Spirit leading you to do? I want to buy this asset. What's the leading? Oh, I want to go to school. What's the leading? I want to relocate. What's the leading? You see, you're going to need what I'm teaching you in every aspect of your life, because every part of your life will demand a decision to be made. In Jesus' name, you will not make any decision with regrets ahead of it. 10 years' time, 20 years' time, 30 years' time, in the name of Jesus. I remember a story, I read a story, real life story, where there was this married couple, you know, and was it relating to the leading? And they were going to get married, and 2 days or 3 days to the wedding, the man starts to feel very uneasy. And he told his very good friend about it. I think a pastor as well. And he said, no. So everything happened. 3 years down the lane, it was over. You will not get into situations that will get you in pain in Jesus' name. And there's also people, they've had leadings. And they said, I'm led. And they got it and they were happy. The base of what I'm saying is be led. Are you listening? Be led by God's Spirit. So in Romans chapter 12 verse 2 tells us, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You would re-educate, you would remold, so that you will be able to know what the will of God is, which is in the leading of God, right? We'll be able to know what the will of God is. So it means that the renewing of the mind is very paramount for the believer to recognize the will of God. And in this context, obviously, I'm speaking about God's leading. Now, it means that the renewing of the mind is not a once and for all event. It's a continuous, consistent one. In fact, I've realized this. Let me tell you one thing I've realized. And it took me quite some time to realize this. You know, the mind degrades if it's not consistently built. How many of us knew a scripture in, let's say, JHS 3, but we never quoted it again? And the last time we tried to quote it, wasn't easy to quote. Or we learned a scripture we could quote overhead. Then, a few months later, you can't even remember the chapter and then the verse of the scripture. You can only remember what it sounds like. That's all you remember, what it sounds like. Something. I mean, that's even not remember what it sounds like. Because something is not what it sounds like at all. So your heart knows that the scripture is talking about this, but you can't put the words together. Why is it so? Because the mind degrades. When I say the mind degrades, I'm speaking about relating to spiritual things. And it's natural also, obviously, because many of you, the things you learned in all of those places, university and go, you can't remember. I can't remember too. I don't remember how I've been. Some things are there when you ask me. I just told myself, I'm just going to learn and pass the exam. And when I learn and pass the exam, that day I'll delete. Yes, right? Delete. Uh-huh. Next batch. Uh-huh. Delete. Mm-hmm. Delete. Okay. Delete. Mm-hmm. Delete. You ask me, medicinal chemistry. Mm-hmm. Delete. Mm-hmm. Delete. Which structure? Mm-hmm. Delete. Let's go. Mm-hmm. Which one? Phytochemistry. Mm-hmm. Delete. Cognosy. I saw lab cognosy. Biochemistry. Delete. French. Double delete. Except that I have somebody who knows how to speak French, so he disturbs me with French. Double delete. Tu parles français? Oui, Miss Wee. Encore. To know. That's where my French reaches. Yes, but I'm trying. So you see, the mind gets to lose information. Tulemon is for dancing, yeah? Tulemon dancing. Why? It means that you are listening to, what do you call it? Tulemon is for dancing. Tulemon dancing. Tulemon. Then they will say something. Tulemon dancing. So, the mind, right? It degrades, it forgets. Let me tell you, it's like that with spiritual things. Whatever it is you don't keep up with, you lose the grip you have on it. You lose the grip you have on it. If you were praying or you were getting involved with prayer and you cease over a time, you see that getting back at it becomes, you know, not that easy as before. Right? Great. Sometimes you even wonder, I used to pray power, but I just said, let me pause for some few, and then it's already. So it means that the mind also that has to be molded in a certain shape. The molding process comes with the word of God giving attention. The moment you stop, it starts to demold into something. That's how the world is. That's how the world is. That's why you find people age. You say you age like fine wine. You just age. So we saw you 5 years ago and today you're looking very... That's how everything in the world degrades. It doesn't become any better than it was. It gets worse than it was. So the mind, information, social media, and everything that you have around you has that influence on our spiritual life. So the renewing of the mind has to be constant. Let me tell you something. You could believe God for a certain supernatural manifestation today. Then in a few weeks later, you start to doubt that manifestation. It's not because you are naturally a doubtful person. Not necessarily. It's just that it degrades over time. So you need to keep at it consistently. You see, you need to keep at it consistently. I'm telling you, if I give you 1 month of not reading the word of God, not listening to it, you'll be shocked as to the things that will start coming into your heart and the things that will start, you know, getting into your mind. That's why the renewing of the word of God is a continuous, unending pursuit for the believer. He has to grow in knowledge, except that he will grow in other things. He has to grow. If not, he's going to grow in some other things. Yes. He has to grow. He has to grow. The believer ought to grow. So it has to be continually done. The moment you stop, something takes over. I'm telling you. When you stop, something takes over. You'll be shocked that the thing you said you'll never do, you just give yourself some time. You'll do it more than the people who were doing it because you neglected the place of the word. But that's not going to be anyone's story in Jesus' name. So you get to realize that it has to be a continuous pursuit. And that's why I teach you on some very key strategies from zero, right? Remember that it's a long, unending warfare. It's long. It continues. It's long. You don't just fight it today and you just say, I'm tired. This Christianity thing. Oh, you'll be out. Because that's what the devil is doing. He's always influencing. And because we know he's always influencing, we also have to be always allowing ourselves to be influenced by the word of God. If not, we'll become influenced by something. I have to tell myself, don't lie to yourself. You can be influenced. And nobody is above influence. So our counter, what do you call it, mechanism, is to influence also. But this time, it's to allow ourselves to be influenced by the word of God. That's the counter. That's the response you give. So don't say that you cannot be influenced. Can't be influenced to do wrong. You can't be influenced to believe something that you first believed. It's very easy. Once you stay around another influence, you find it just getting into your heart. So Paul highlights in Romans 12 verse 2 that if a believer does not renew his mind, he's going to be conformed to this world. He shouldn't argue about it. He's going to be conformed to the things of this world. He's going to be, you know, patterned after the activities of normal men. 1 John 2:15 to 17. 1 John 2:15 to 17. So don't say that, oh, I'll just be around this person, but I'm very strong. Hey. You will be influenced. The only way to avoid influence is to avoid influence. That's all. Influence in itself is influence. So the only way to avoid it is to avoid it. Not to believe in yourself. Right? Don't believe in yourself. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 to 17, he says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world. Now he now gives us all that is in the world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. So, these things are things that are going to influence the believer. These are appetites, reasonings, thought patterns that if he does not take care, he's going to be influenced. And don't forget, these things are going to be expressed through the mind. As for us, If you have money, we don't care. We'll spend the money. Do whatever you want to do with us and cry, we'll spend the money. The words of a very young girl. She's talking about the sugar daddy. We'll spend the money. If we bring it, we'll spend. You do whatever you want to do, we'll spend. It's in the mind. The lust of the flesh, a burning desire or a passion towards something that is of the world. So you must be careful. I listened to a very interesting story today, and I mean honestly, I was speaking to this lady, and you know, she had gone through a lot. I'm hoping she's even maybe something. Speaking to other people, and you know, the person told me that I really, really struggled in life. I said, okay. Yeah, I've really, really struggled in life. And she said, but I promised God that I will not have anything to do with anybody who will not get married to me. I promised God. You know, it shook me down my spine. Because you hardly hear some of these things these days. I didn't have money, so I just went to... Oh, I just needed it. I just went to maybe because I just did this. It wasn't my fault. Things were this. I will not do it. Even if it means I should suffer. I won't open my legs for anybody. That's what she said. I won't do it. I said, wow. What an example. I will suffer. I won't do it. As I've told God, if it's that one alone, I will not do it. Yeah. If it means I should get a job, I'll get a job and work. I won't do it. Brilliant. I was moved. Yeah, with compassion. That was when I saw that, okay, the Lord still has people that genuinely want to follow His way and to do what He wants them to do. Yes. I will never do it. I will never do it. So you can tell yourself, I will never do it. Or, I will never do it again. I'll never do this thing. No matter how I love the person, I'll never do it. No matter how the person wants to take care of me. She told me, this pastor, if I will not even be talking to you. Yeah, I wouldn't have been talking to you by now. Yes. So I had free office, pay school fees, pay this, pay everything for me by other people. They will not marry me, but they just want to have anything. They told me that, oh, if I'm able to do this for them, they'll do it for me too. Let me just do it for them. They'll do it for me too. I told my God. I told my God. I will not do this. Good example. See, there's something that... You see, and that clearly is the will of God. The will of God is not something you need to pray about. Yes, there's need for prayer. But sometimes it's just clear. Doing the word of God already shows that that's the will. So I then was quiet and she was talking. She was saying that, Pastor, I will not do it. She said, at a point in time, I met somebody who wanted to pay my distance. He paid the distance. He said, no, you will not pay again if I don't do what I want him to do. And I looked at it and I said, this is not God's help. I was blessed, I'm telling you. She said that when she looked at it, she realized that this is not the way God helps. Yeah, and so she would not do it. There's not, she said, if God will help you, He will help you in a good way. Yes, if God will help you, He will help you in a good way. He will not help you in a very dubious way. So it's just the grace of God. Yeah, God will help you. He will help you in a good way. If it is truly God that is helping you. So I was blessed just listening. Just blessed listening. That there are still people who can stand for God like this. Say, I will not do it. Hey, I won't do it. The lust of the flesh. Yeah. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. And ye hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and others, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world. There is a course of this world, people of God. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Oh. You see, I in this ministry, can we trust God and pray for people who are true? Yeah, people who are true. Yeah, people who are genuine. I'm not saying that you're not coming with fault, but there's genuinity. You see, people who love God, they really love God. They're genuine about their love for God. I get hurt when I find out that somebody is posing in a certain way, but we get to see something and then we get to realize that you are very stubborn. We see things hidden under the carpet. Things are hidden and you are doing things. You've been here. Here to a lot of things. Let's all just, you know, be true. Can we do that? Don't be somebody in the dark and then you come out in the light and you seem to be a very good angel. The lust of the flesh. I'm believing God that all my sons and daughters will grow in that similitude, and the grace of God will be abundant on us all of us, myself, down, trickling down. Trickling down. So we are not supposed to be conformed to this world. There's a way the world thinks. If you are not this by this, is a problem. If you are not this by this, is a problem. If you don't have this money, is a problem. If you don't, No. The believer ought not to obey the impulses of the flesh. Adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, seditions, heresies, all of these things. Galatians 5:16-21. The works of the flesh. The works that are powered. You know, the flesh is an expression for anything that is not of the spirit is of the flesh. It's of the natural, sensory, perceptive nature of the flesh. Things that has to do with the eyes, which has to do with seeing. Things that has to do with, you know, feelings. Things that has to do with, you know, taste. Things that have to do with, you know, emotions that are not of the spirit. They are all of the flesh. They are embodied around anything that has to do with the natural way things have to go. So Paul is writing to the church in Galatians. Walk in the spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh, for the flesh lusteth after against the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to another, so you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led by the spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery. You are married, you have something to do with somebody, God does not like it and he's not happy about it, and it is the reason why. Listen to me carefully, yo. Listen to me carefully. Is the reason why many are not able to discern what the perfect, good, and acceptable will of God is, the lust of the flesh. Because you will not be able to prove. Remember, the reason for the renewing of the mind is so that the mind will grow, be modeled, the way Christ wants it to be modeled, so that it will be able to prove what is the acceptable will of God. You see that? But in this case, the mind is modeled differently. And so being able to know the will of God, now I'm speaking more emphatically on the leading of the Spirit, which is the inward witness, it becomes very difficult. They hinder. It's not that easy when you are fornicating, you know, unclean. Uncleanness has to do with, you know, filthy thinking, anything that's filthy, you know. There's adultery, there's lasciviousness, you know, witchcraft. Oh. It becomes difficult. Is a fleshly thing. And that's why I'm teaching you that. I'm going to teach on some of these things as the times go by. So that to be, God will help every one of us. Right? Yeah. Adultery, fornication, cleanness, lasciviousness. Idolatry. And these are just elevated things in your heart above God. It must not necessarily be an idol. Anything that you esteem more than God is idolatry. Anything in the world, if you esteem a concept more than God, is idolatry. Yes. Anything, money, far above God is idolatry. Marriage, far above God is idolatry. As good as they are, they could be reasons why God is low in your life. But remember, the renewing of the mind is going to help us. Are you listening? It's going to help us. The renewing of the mind is going to help us to not conform to this world. Then we will be able to prove via the inward witness what is the will of God. You see, somebody who loves money, eh? And, for example, you have an opportunity to either serve God carefully in a place or leave to another place that does not allow you to serve God. Somebody who loves money will not be able to discern what is the good, perfect, and acceptable will of God. But he's just going to go after the money because that's easy to make. That's easy to make. So even when he prays, his emotions are going to be money, 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 money. Nobody's against money. But at least you can have money still in the will of God. So there's hatred, there's variance, there's emulations, there's wrath, there's strife, there's seditions, there's heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. These are activities of the flesh. They're going to, you know, stop or hinder. This will stop the flow of you recognizing the inward witness. And that's why you're going to walk away from them. Right? You walk away from them. You walk away from them. Make sure you walk away from them. God is helping you. Let me tell you something. It's not true that every youthful person is sensual and sexual. It's not true. It's not true. That's not how it's supposed to be. It's not true. I said, it's not true. So as we renew our minds in the Word of God, you will be conformed to that state that God wants you to be conformed to. You will be conformed to that state. You will be conformed to that state. You will be conformed to that state. You see the way I'm teaching you? For example, something like just what I said in a sentence form. It can change your perception. Rather than seeing yourself as a horsepower, you are horsepower. Say, no. As for youthful dear, we have to enjoy ourselves. It's not every youth. You see, sometimes I look at, in quotes, youthful people, and I get tired for them. I'm like, hey, this is really serious, you know. It's not like that. So you can renew your mind so much that you begin to amount to what God wants you to amount to. So you don't need to have envy. You don't need to, you know, have rivalries. You don't need to be drunken. You know, all of these things are of the flesh. They will, you know, sort of swiftly seize the right perception of the inward witness. But God is helping you. God is helping you. God is helping you. God is helping you. In Jesus' name. God is helping you. In Jesus' name. And, you know, the inward witness is going to become clearer, 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 clearer. Because they're going to be renewings of the mind. In Jesus' might. Now, we had already laid some very good emphasis on the fact that one of the things that the believer has to do is to renew their minds. Romans chapter 12 verse 2. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So the believer ought to have his mind renewed. If not, he might miss out on the leading of the Spirit. We said that the inward witness, right, is that witness of the Spirit, which is the inner man, which refutes or agrees to facts that are presented, you know. So we ought to learn to pay attention to all of these Spirit-inspired emotions, you know, peace, grief, this compelling, right, there's agony and all of those. So we're supposed to pay attention keenly to what the Spirit of God says to us when we encounter situations. And we're saying that the witness is going to come from within. We should not expect, you know, some audible, you know, spooky voice. We said that the voice is going to come from within. So there's a within, you know, experience, not a without experience. And as we do this, we're going to learn to, you know, just know God and to know what God is saying, you know, concerning everything that we present to Him. We said that there are things that are going to hinder the believer from following the inward witness. If he does not renew his mind, he's going to be predisposed to the patterns or to the, you know, he's going to conform himself to the things of this world and to the thoughts, ideologies of this world. And that is further going to stop him from flowing with the Spirit of God. So you see that it becomes very difficult for somebody who has not had their minds renewed, following or responding or getting to know what the inward witness is, because they hardly know what the mind of God is, which is his word, right? So Romans, right, 12 verse 2, the reasons why we do not ought to be conformed to this world is so that we may be able to prove what is the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. It means that the believer will be able to discern the voice of God very clearly if he pays attention or if she pays attention to renewing the mind. Now, we said there are things that 1 John 2:15 says. It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. He says, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Then he says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh. We took some time looking at some of the things that are hidden underneath, you know, when there is no renewing of the mind. It means the believer is going to have a lust of the flesh. The lust of the flesh, fornication. We spoke about, you know, adultery, lasciviousness, you know, envy, jealousy. All of these things are going to hinder, right, the believer from getting to know the mind of God. Going to hinder the believer from getting to know what the mind of God is. So, you know, verse 16, for all this is in the world, the lust of the flesh. The lust of the flesh. The reasons why people cannot hear God, cannot respond to the inward witness, is because there is something fleshy. You know, I told you that the word flesh there will mean things that are natural, most of the times pertaining to the natural senses. So the things that we see with our eyes, things that we feel with our emotions, things that we taste, you know, all of these things are, you know, just flesh related. They are not spiritual. They are not according, you know, to what, I mean, they are not according to God's word. It means they are inspired and have a seating, you know, on things that are just natural. And natural things are enemy to God. You can be a natural man and walk with God. You can be a natural man and walk with God. You can have natural affections and walk with God. You can want to have the emotions of a natural man and walk with God. I mean, today I just took some time just reading on faith, and always Abraham staggers me, just like he staggered not. I stagger when I read of him, but he staggered not at the promises of God, believing that God will do whatever it is he wanted to do. But I stagger when I read about Abraham. Now here's Thomas, you know, and Thomas is, boy, unless we see this Jesus, we would never believe. We would never believe unless we see him. Ah. If you see him, it's not enough or more. It will show us in hand. Then me, then they call me Thomas. Then I go take my hand and put the nail pierced hand inside there. So me, then they call me Thomas. Me. Unless, say, I take my hand, chalk inside that side, and no go believe. So, Thomas is known to have had faith. He only has to see the things that then he can believe. And some of you are shocked I'm speaking pidgin. Yeah, so, anyways, one of those things. So, Thomas has to, you know, believe. He has to believe. When he has not seen, right? But how would you believe if you have not seen, if you're not renewed in your mind concerning God's word? It's not possible. So verse 16 of 1 John 2:15, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the flesh. 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 Then he goes on to say, the pride of life. Sorry, the lust of the eyes. The lust of the eyes. Then he says, the pride of life. Then one of the interesting things he says is that, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Remember, so that he may be able to prove what is acceptable, the perfect will of God, the good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. So, having these things strongly are going to be sure reasons why you miss out on the inward witness. Now, this is going to be interesting, but if you're fond of just, you say, Charlie, if it's Canada, nah, where they go? We don't go Canada. We don't go anywhere. We just be in Canada. We just go. Just search Canada. Canadian visa. Canadian guy. Canadian burger. You see, for someone like this, I'm telling you, when you pray, you are more likely to see something concerning Canada, or your heart is more likely going to beat in the direction of Canada, because it is, that's clearly what you want, is a strong wanting, is an unbridled passion. That's the word actually lust. Like it's not tamed. Right? It's not tamed. It's wild. It's wild. It wants it anyway, anyhow. Just wants it. So if you have these and you don't deal with them, there's going to be a very hard time following the inward witness. The lust of the eyes. You know, these are, you know, passionate desires that stem from what we see. You see, it stems from the things that we see. So there are things that find seating in our hearts by the things that we see. It's almost like, you know, an allurement. Like you are attracted to something through charm. So there are things in the world that you lust after because of the things that you see. How you do this is to keep your heart in all diligence. Right? Then he says, these things are going to stop you from, right, following the inward witness. Some people see an iPhone, they want it. A laptop, they want it. A house, they want it. A car, they want it. Now, wanting it is not wrong, but wanting it at all costs is dangerous. Say, oh, I have vision to buy a house. That's not wrong. But when you need to get it at all costs, then there is a problem. Wanting it at all costs. We need to have it at all costs. We need to have it at all costs. We need to have it at all costs. No, it's not always the case. So the lust of the eyes. Then he says the pride of life, which refers to boasting in oneself. Pride of life, anything about life, in one's riches, in one's influence or affluence, which is riches, in one's beauty or how handsome one is. You should be careful of those things. All of these things gaining seatings in your heart will become reasons why you cannot follow the inward witness. Yeah, the lust of the eyes, in the pride of life, dangerous. Boasting. Yeah. Look at me. I've now become the CEO. It was those times you could talk to me like this. But now you have to talk to me with some respect. Show some respect, boy. Show some respect. And now I'm the manager of so-and-so company. Be respectful. At least show some respect. Oh, I'm now a big man. I was not that small boy you used to know. So chill, calm. Chill. Become. Now we have money. So all of these things are reasons why, you know, it's going to have a hard time, yielding to the Holy Ghost. You know, I realize that all the people I trained and all the people I raised are taller, muscular, more manly, more, you know, extended. And I sometimes look at them and I'm like, I met somebody I think she was in the university or something, and I was speaking to her, and she said, "How old are you?" And I said, "Age, I don't think age matter." So she was still pushing, "How old are you?" And I said, "That does not really matter, you know. Just listen to what I'm telling you." So she said, "Oh, how old are you?" I said, "Okay, tell me how old I am. I want you to guess how old I am." She said, she mentioned some kind of age. I said, "Okay, that's how old I am." I said, "That's how old I am. You know, that's how old I am." She said, "Okay, that means you are in your university." I said, that's another story, right? So you look at people who are more grown, you know, more expanded, you know, they now have muscles and all of those. I've always been like very sizable, small. My class, I've always like literally been the smallest. JHS, I was the smallest. SHS, I think McFrederick was too small. So when you take McFrederick away, I'm sure I was the one in there. And I was very small. And other places. So it's not fair. And I'm going to remain like this for the rest of the year. So I just want to remind you that just in case you grow tall, and just in case you get a lot of beard and you have a lot of, what do you call it, chest, I will slap you in the spirit. In the spirit, I'm a giant. I can tell you a vision the Lord showed me. I was so huge. I said, "My God, I was so huge. I literally stood in the globe. And I was so huge." Look, when I bent down to pick something, I had to bend down in the globe to pick something from the globe. Yeah, I was so huge. I was so tall. Yeah, so that's the vision that comforts me. That's the only thing that comforts me. When I see in the physical and I see in the supernatural, I say, "No, you can't. You are big, but you are nothing in this." When we enter the other side, you know, I'll lash you over there. I'll lash you all around. Yeah, I'll lash you. So that's the vision that comforts me. I tell you, hey, in the spirit, I'm very tall. In the physical, you are very tall. I remember walking with somebody, walking with him, and you know, we met somebody, and then the woman greeted him and didn't greet me. So I was like, "Yeah, I get to experience some of these things." So he was trying to tell the woman, "Oh, this is my pastor." And then the woman said, "Oh, okay, you are the pastor." I was like, "Yes, I am." That's good. I always get this. So the pride of things that pertain life. And sometimes they could just be physical things. You know, you go to the gym, all of those. You're very fit. You meet somebody who is maybe a bit, whatever, lanky, tall, in quotes, huge, fat. You try to look at that and you're saying that, you know, I mean, Why can't you get muscles? That's very silly. You look at somebody who doesn't have money, and instead of you should give them and accord them respect that they need anywhere because of their money, you try to, you know, look down on people one way or the other. You know, you respect somebody who seems to have money. You just despise somebody, you know, who doesn't. It's a pride. So we all must be careful that we don't fall victims. Right? We don't fall victims of this. So the believer is exposed to all of these influences. You know, sometimes there could just be for example, somebody has something like disobedience. Let's say, let me just show you in short the way of the backslider and how that he allows, you know, some sort of pride into it. So disobedience first disguises itself as like a lack of satisfaction. Yeah, like there are things that you used to do that gave you so much satisfaction, you don't want to do them any longer. Or you feel, okay, I'm not going to do it. Then what happens is that you start dishonoring things. You start dishonoring men. You start dishonoring the gatherings you once honored. See, it's the first stage of backsliding. It's the first stage of stepping out of God's plan and will for your life. You start somehow in your heart. You pick up issues and then you start to dishonor them. You start to play down meetings that bless you, thinking that, oh, I can do without them, or I can be fine without them, or I can be okay, I will be fine. You can't police our lives. You can't instruct us to do whatever. You just pick that up. It's like you begin to suddenly have a revelation of yourself that you never had before, right? So you somehow pick up on dishonor. You pick up on men. You pick up on events. You dishonor them. You see things in your heart. You know, you perceive things in your mind. And then it starts manifesting. Let me show you. It starts manifesting as absenteeism. So when you begin to dishonor, it's like you just treat lightly. It doesn't have to be very huge, but you treat lightly. You treat it lightly. Then it starts showing as absenteeism in church. Then what happens is that you start seeking new friends and new associates. You start looking out for people to hear you out. So you start looking out for people to hear you out, because you're not trying to find yourself in a clique of people who understand whatever it is that you are not doing. So it starts with lack of satisfaction. Then it moves to dishonoring things, men, events, gatherings, and all of those things. Then it manifests as, I will not be around in church. I will not be around. I can't be around because of this. Then you now start finding friends that actually, let me tell you something, anybody who backslides, they follow this same pattern. There are few who don't follow this pattern. Sometimes it's quicker than the others, but many times you find yourself in the same. Maybe skipping one point after the other, but it's going to be the same. So manifest as absenteeism, then you start looking for people who will hear you, people who will understand you, people who will, you know, believe whatever it is that you believe. Then at this point in time, it's subtle, so you might not really know it. Watch what you get into the next. It continues to being defensive. It continues to being defensive. So it's like, now when they ask you, why aren't we seeing you again? Why aren't you replying messages? Why aren't we seeing you on meetings, call sessions? We haven't been seeing you. Then you know what? Your reply is going to be, my schedule this, my schedule that. They are getting too much. I have issues and it's not being addressed. I have a problem and it's not being looked at. I have something with pastor. It's not being looked at. I have this happening. Oh, my discipler said this to me. At a point in time, I needed this to be done, but it wasn't done. So this point is the most dangerous. It's inbuilt mischief. Right? So you get defensive. You begin to defend whatever reason it is. That's how I am. That's how they gave birth to me. Yeah? That's how I've grown all this time of my life. No. You see, when you have things that you are, see, everybody learns something that they are not. So you make the effort to learn. You know, there are some things that really will cost you because you refuse to change that attribute. I've had to learn some things that I was never. Yeah. Found it hard to do, but I had to learn it. Sometimes some people think, oh, maybe I have texts on my phone. I sit down consciously to reply texts. I have my computer connected. I'll type on my phone when I'm tired. I continue on the PC. It's something I consciously do. Some of you listening to me have several texts unread, unanswered too. Which is very wrong. For several months, 234, 529, 172. Meanwhile, you are not replying the text. Anyway, so it continues like that. You get defensive, then now you get passive. That's when you hear people say, "I don't really care." Well, sometimes they will not say it, but their heart shows it. I don't longer care. Oh, what anybody says, it's not really, really a problem. That's how I am. Oh, they say I'm not coming to meetings. I'm not coming. I'm very busy. At this time, I'm telling you, many times your circle of friends has changed. You pick up old habits. You pick up friends. You get very light. You get very loose. Then in the last stage, you get offensive. You start to attack all who you once revered. Things you were once out at, you start to mock. You label and then you attack. Listen. The pride of life is most of the times embedded in these attitudes. Or just a general pride. You're passive, then you are offensive. First, defensive. So when you find people, I'm still talking on the pride of life. Pride, and then, you know, of life too is what I explained earlier. When you find people get to you, you know, receive them in all humility and see that God sends them to you to remind you of what you are not doing. But pride has its way of stopping you from realizing that these people are blessings to you. But with the renewing of your mind, it becomes clear to you that these people are sent to be a blessing to you. So as we continually renew our minds, I told you that renewing of the mind is forever. Because the moment you leave it small, it starts to degrade. It starts to vanish. You'll be amazed that you search for things that you thought you had believe in, but you really don't really believe in those things any longer because you neglected those things. So don't neglect things that bless you. Don't neglect the word of God. Don't neglect prayer. Don't neglect the things that should be a blessing to you. Tomorrow, we're going to look at how do you renew your mind. I'm going to be teaching on how. Because I'm telling you, the mind needs to be renewed. Then I'm going to tell you how you can renew the mind. It's going to be quite some practical steps that we need. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for everyone in this place. We give you all the glory for your grace. Thank you for your love and your compassion. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we're coming to the knowledge of the inward witness. Oh, and we're walking in it. We're walking in it.